We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
Now, my friends, if you have before you your Bible, I'd like you to open your Bible to the first psalm. I want to read the entire psalm to you, and let's try to read it together. This wonderful psalm. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The more I read this psalm, the more wonderful it is to me. The more marvelous is its meaning in our practical relations in this world. Now, we found out in the first message that a good man or a blessed man or a happy man does not do certain things. There are certain things he refuses to do. He refuses to get counsel from the ungodly. That's one of the things. He gets his advice from the right sources. Now, another thing he does, a good man does not stand in the way of sinners. In other words, he doesn't go in with sinners in an alliance, and he never sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, that's true of a good man. Now, here's another thing about a good man. A good man delights in the law of the Lord. He doesn't delight in sin. The thing you love and the thing you hate determines what you are. If you show me what kind of music you love, I can tell you what kind of soul you have. If you'll tell me the kind of company you love and the sort of people you like to be with, I can tell you what you are. The things we love and the things we hate determine what we are. Now, a good man delights in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. If you do not delight in the things of God and the law of God and in the purity of Christian living, then you're just simply not a good man. Oh, you can pat yourself on the back and try to make yourself believe you're all right, but you're not all right. Good men love that which is good, and bad men love that which is bad. You have an affinity for goodness, an affinity for purity, if you're right at heart. Now then, because you are the type man that avoids certain things, and because you're the sort of man that does certain right things and have a love for certain right things, then there are certain results that are inevitable. God takes good care of people like that. People of that kind, the psalmist says, are like trees planted by rivers of water. God says, I'll take care of that person. That person is my man. He's my woman. That person belongs to me. That person yonder, he's the right kind of person. He's a child of God. And so I'll take care of him. He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and brings forth his fruit in his season. And God says that whatsoever that type man does prospers. In other words, his work prospers. Now, wait a minute. You will not be in any kind of a job that isn't God-directed if you're a completely surrendered man. The steps of a good man are ordered of God. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he'll bring it to pass. Sometimes we hear people say, I'm called to the ministry, or I'm called to be a missionary. If you're a surrendered Christian, a consecrated Christian, you are called to do whatever you're doing. If you are not in the will of God, then you are not consecrated. God calls some women to marry and bring up children and run homes. He calls some men to be mechanics and some men to be farmers. But the steps of a good man are ordered of God. And every Christian's calling is a sacred calling if you're in the will of God, if you're surrendered to him, if you're altogether given to God. Then your steps are ordered of the Lord, and your calling, however humble it may seem in the estimation of man, is just as holy and just as sacred as the highest calling of the highest person in all the world. Oh, I wish we could get that. There's nothing commonplace when we are with God, in fellowship with God, doing God's will. You know, we read in the Bible, if we give a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord Jesus, we have our reward. That's why I say the greatest investments that you make, and the only investments on which you will make dividends in eternity, are the investments you make in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he says, the thing you do will prosper. Men may not think so. People may look on you as a failure, but you are prosperous as far as your work is concerned, if you're doing the will of God. God's business will go over someday. God is going to win. The devil will never win. This is God's universe. And the men that are with God will be on the winning side. Now then, I've told you what he says about the good man. Now, what does he say about the other type? The man he calls the ungodly man. That is a man that goes out without God. A man that says, I'm going to live my own life. I run my own affairs. I'm going to do what I think I ought to do. I'm going to use my brain and use my ability. And though I got my what little ability I have from God, I'm going ahead and use it as I see fit. I'm not going to talk to God about it. I'm not going to pray over the matter. He's just an ungodly man. Now, the psalmist says, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly is not like the godly. The ungodly goes to the ungodly for advice. The ungodly sooner or later stands in the way of sinners. The ungodly sooner or later sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, he is not so, but he's like chaff which the wind driveth away. You know, that's a very descriptive statement. Very striking, that is. Like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Did you ever notice how the wind drives chaff away? You know, you've seen them, haven't you, out in the wind, you know? And I remember when I was a boy, we used to raise a great many field peas down on our farm. And we'd let them dry. And then they'd hold them up, you know, if you'd take them and thrash them out, and as they do wheat, you know. And they'd pour it out in the on a great big cloth they'd have. And the wind would drive away all the light stuff. And the stuff that had weight would go down to the on the spread, you see. See? That's the way it is with the chaff. The chaff drives away, you see. You know, some of these sinners think they're so big and so important. I remember sitting not long ago in a conference with a group of men, and I was the only preacher there. And one of them was he was so snooty and highbrowed. And he looked around me and said, of course, Dr. Jones, you're a minister, you're a preacher. You don't know anything about business. We're glad to have you here. I said, you shut up. I know as much about this as you do. These men that think they're so important, you know, or think they're so wonderful, they're like chaff. Oh, you think you're so big, you old sinner, you? Why, you, just a little breath from the nostrils of God would blow you into eternity. You're like chaff, which the wind driveth away. You're not as important as you think you are. You've got sinners in this country, I've watched them strut, that think they're so big, you know, and so important. Listen, I'd rather have God Almighty back of me than to have all the ecclesiastical machinery in the world, and all the banks in the world, and all the politicians in the world, the whole world organized against Jesus Christ, but he's still an issue. The whole Roman Empire organized against Paul with all the religious systems of his day, but they didn't eliminate him. They might put him in jail, but they couldn't eliminate him. If God be for us, who can be against us? And if you haven't got God on your side, and you are not on God's side, and if God's omnipotence isn't for you, you are like chaff. Never mind who you think you are. He said, therefore, because there's nothing to the ungodly. He has no weight and stability. He hasn't omnipotence for him. He hasn't God for him. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Doesn't mean he won't be at the judgment. It doesn't mean he won't be there. He can't even stand in the testing time, not even down here. When the testing time comes, the ungodly man goes down. I remember when the Depression came in America a few years ago, I knew certain ungodly men in Florida. They couldn't stand the test. Oh, they were great fellows back there till the testing time came. And you've known them to go out and blow out their brains, haven't you? They couldn't stand the test, you see. They didn't have the stability. They didn't have the weight. If you have God, you can endure hardships. You can go through difficulties. And even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. You know who's for you and who's with you. Oh, it's wonderful. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. It doesn't mean you won't be there. He just won't stand when he gets there. You may stand in society pretty well down here at your cocktail parties. You may stand pretty high in the estimation of your gang. But you wait till judgment comes, buddy. You won't stand there. You cannot stand in the judgment. You get there. You'll be there, all right. But you won't stand when you get there. And sinners cannot stand, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Now, notice just a moment. You won't stand in the congregation of righteous. I'm talking to some man, maybe, right now. Maybe your wife's a Christian. And maybe you've been walking along the road together and you're a sinner. The separation day is coming sometime. Some of these days, you're going to walk up yonder and your wife will go through the gate into the city. And you'll go away. You'll be separated. Separation day is coming. Somebody from his old mother, somebody from his father that lived in the faith and died in the faith and went home to heaven. And you have been a sinner. You'll be at judgment, all right. But you won't stand, but they'll stand. And you'll be turned away. And you'll be driven away by the breath of the wrath of God. You'll be driven away. And the separation time's coming. And I said, listen to this. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. The Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. Isn't it wonderful that God knows what's ahead of you and me? We people that love Him. We people who trust Him. We people who are trying to live for Him. He knows what's ahead of us. And He's with us all the time. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'm with you when you're sick and when you're sad. I'm with you when sorrows come to you. I'm with you when there's opposition to you. I'm with you when the world forces organize against you. I'm with you when you're under a satanic attack. I'm with you. And I know you. I know your way. I know where you're going. I know all about, He says. And He said, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Listen, men and women, that's an awful word. The way of the ungodly shall perish. You haven't got the thing that sustains you if you're not right with Almighty God. I just want to appeal to you just a minute. Why don't you come clean with God? Why don't you surrender your life to God? Why don't you right now, as you sit there by your radio, why don't you turn a new leaf and begin a new life, trusting Jesus Christ and surrendering completely to Him, and let God have His way with you, and let God put His arms about you, let God put His protecting care about you, and go with God down the road of life, so when judgment comes, you'll be all right. And no separation from Him someday. Separation's an awful thing from God and heaven. That's what makes hell. Wherever God is heaven, and wherever God is not, is hell. Our Father, help all who have listened in to us. Help them to be yielded and dedicated and consecrated to God. Pour out Thy Spirit and Thy power upon us. Help us to be what we ought to be godly people, to be consecrated, surrendered, faithful Christians, and let Thy will be done in us and through us. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.